Good morning from Pro Tour San Juan. We are closing in on the start of round one. It's time for our Meta Game Runaround, and we begin with a Hall of Famer, Antoine Ruel of France, in some kind of football shirt. I'm trying to work. So who is this then?
It's Colo Colo. It's a Chilean team.
Okay. Is that just getting in the spirit of the tropical thing, or is that a team you support?
The brother of my girlfriend gave it to me, and I'm wearing it on Pro Tours usually. But as I'm sponsored by Star City Games, I'll wear a Star City Game shirt in a few minutes.
Of course. All right. And I see you're busy taking advantage of the internet to check up on the football. Who's going to win the World Cup this year?
Apparently not England.
No, I don't think so.
From what you said.
Yeah. France have a chance?
France have a chance.
Okay. How about the Pro Tour? Does France have a chance at the Pro Tour?
Apparently French people just always lose, but we are talking about it in the car. Mm-hmm. And saying that French players just will always play different decks because we don't like the metagame deck. So
yep.
My deck is probably crap.
What are you playing?
A Vampires, but with Pulse Tracker and...
Okay, so super aggro.
Yeah, super bad. And no, I don't know, like, this is the only deck I didn't really test.
Okay.
Like, I hated every single deck I played, so I decided to actually play a deck that I didn't hate yet.
Okay. Now, something else that's happening this weekend in your family is that Olivier will overtake Kai Buddha for the lifetime pro point score.
Now, Bill, really? What
exactly? You didn't know?
No.
Oh, that's outrageous. Okay, Antoine Ruel of France, many thanks. Thank you. Okay, so our metagame runaround begins with the brother of the man who's about to become the leading point scorer of all time. He didn't even know it was going to happen. Okay, let's head across and let's see. There's a group of five here at this table. Let's see if we can have a quick word with Todd Anderson. Of course, he was on the U.S. national team at Worlds in Rome. Todd, how are you getting on?
I'm doing fine. How are
okay,
you?
Okay, I'm good. Have you had a fun time so far in San Juan?
Yeah, the food's awesome. I mean, we're right next to the beach, so yeah.
It's pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, how does that impact on testing? Have you managed to actually get some testing done?
We tried really hard last night while we were up here. We found out a few things. Hopefully, we had some good ideas come together. So,
What's your take on the block format? Is it going to be a screamingly fast format? Are we going to see a ton of draws? What's the sort of overall shape?
I think that... it's a rock, paper, scissors metagame. Like, you know, there are three clear, like, best decks, in my opinion. Like, red, mono green, and blue white are, like, the three biggest decks. I think that there could be a lot of draws if blue white mirror matches happen, you know. But, I mean, the green deck isn't slow. I mean, it does play 11-11s on turn 5 and turn 4 sometimes, so.
Yeah, so the mono green is the ramp deck.
Yes,
that's what we're going to describe to people at home. So you're just working your way up. What have you chosen to play of the rock, paper, scissors, as you call
it? I'm actually playing the mono red deck because you don't actually just fold to any of the decks in the format, whereas like the mono green deck just auto loses to red and the blue white deck just auto loses to ramps.
So. Okay, so you want to feel that you've every round that you sit down against one of the big three, you've got a chance to outplay your opponent.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, that's brilliant. Todd Anderson from the United States national team at Worlds, thanks to him. Let's wander down. Players just really starting to arrive. We're just about 8:15 here. And let's have a chat with someone pretty local to me. This is one of Scotland's finest, Stephen Murray. Stephen, how are you, sir?
I am very hot. It's very, very hot around here.
Yeah, it's quite warm. We're not used to it. The pale-skinned Brits, we're not used to tropical climes. Now, I can see you're sort of putting out a deck here. Tell us what you've decided to go for and why.
Well, honestly, I'm still on a coin flip between this... Eldrazi green deck,
yep.
As in Eldrazi monument green, as a not temples green.
Oh, okay. So what was the thinking behind that?
I just think that Vengevine is probably one of the most powerful cards in the format, but not many decks can actually play it profitably. And this seems like the best way to cast Vengevines.
All right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Oh, and what is your kind of backup plan? What's the alternate deck?
The alternate plan is just playing a bunch of red spells.
Okay.
Goblin Gauge, Geopedes, Shrine Expeditions, and that sort of thing.
And what suits you more naturally as a player? I mean, they both seem. If you're going to play Eldrazi Monument, I guess they're both going to be pretty aggressive. But the red one is well and truly all in, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, especially. I like the red one for the devastating summons thing, where you sometimes just get to kill them out of nowhere.
Just explain, because a lot of our listeners are going to be new to this format, and of course Devastating Summons comes out of Rise of the Eldrazi. Explain, for example, suppose you've got five mana in front of you, it's turn five, and you've got a pair of Devastating Summons in hand. So explain how you're just going to utterly annihilate someone.
Well, it's not so much a pair of Devastating Summons,
okay.
You need one Devastating Summons and one Goblin Bushwhacker.
Yeah.
So what you do is you float your mana, yep, at least three, mm-hmm, to play Devastating Summon, sacking however many lands you feel is appropriate.
Yep.
And then, after that's resolved, you cast Goblin Bushwhacker with Kicker, which gives all of your creatures +1/+0 in haste. So however many lands you sacrificed, you deal two, yep, times that many, plus two from the Goblin Bushwhacker. Which, yeah.
So if you've already got like a Geopede and maybe a Goblin Guide already in play, and you get to five lands, you go, well, here's a pair of five fives, but actually there's six fives because of the Bushwhacker, and another one there, and the Geopede gets in for an extra point, and the guy gets in for it. You're looking at 20 plus.
Oh, definitely. Like some games against vampires when I was testing, they'd gain some life from, you know, consuming vapors and Nighthawks and that sort of thing. And then one turn, I made a Geopede Devastating Summons, two Bushwhackers, and with the guy I already had in play, I dealt him like 36 points of damage out of nowhere. I don't remember the exact creature makeup, but it was...
Yeah. 36 is usually enough, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. So there's a very strong temptation for me to play that deck as opposed to this probably more consistent deck, but I'm not too sure it'd be as fun as making Smouldering Spires. Oh no, your wall cannot block. I have attacked you for 15.
Yeah, okay. Well, the very best of luck to Stephen Murray. He's been part of British national squads before at Worlds. A really competitive player, pretty solid. I have high hopes for him during this week. Well, as you'll hear later in the day, I spent a very entertaining evening the other night with some of the Belgian and Dutch pros in their beach house. Had a fantastic time. And one of the gentlemen I spent some quality time with is with me now, Peter Veren, depending how you like to do it. Would you like Peter or Peter?
Peter is fine.
Peter is fine. Okay. You've obviously had a ton of fun with a huge group, and we talked about that on the other show. How have you ended up? Are you all happy with the decks you've got?
I think most of us are pretty happy, yes. Mm-hmm.
And was it a group decision in the end? Are we going to see 12 copies of the same deck, or is it all spread all across the metagame?
No, but there are two large groups, so an aggro deck and a control deck.
Okay. Which way have you gone? I don't want you to tell me too much about your deck, but are you going aggro or control?
I've gone a different route.
Ah, okay, so you're the rogue guy. What have you gone for then?
It's a control deck, but it's very different than the traditional control deck that the others are playing.
Okay, just show me some of the cards in your deck. I won't tell anyone. I'll just have a quick look. Yes. Very cheeky. All right, so that's Peter Veren. Hopes for the weekend, then. Where are you aiming?
As high as possible. As long as I don't have a loss, I'm aiming to win.
This seems perfectly fair. All right, Peter Veren from Belgium, part of a huge squad who, as I say, we're basically spending the week together in a beach house. I've got a show coming up for you later today, going inside the beach house. Tremendous fun all round. Interesting to see, by the way, that the Chinese are here. They came. This is Jiang Zhang and Wu Tong, two of the Chinese world champions from Rome last year. They came to Grand Prix Washington, D.C. last weekend and now have come on to San Juan. It's great to see them traveling. I don't think I'm going to get an interview with them because I don't speak Chinese and I don't think their English is up to much. But we will see how they do. That's one of the developing storylines in Magic at the moment. So now here's the man who is pretty much certainly the hottest deck builder in Magic right now, but I mean that in a purely deck building sense, you understand. Jerry Thompson, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Okay, a good week so far? Have you enjoyed being in San Juan? I know you're not traditionally a great traveler.
Yeah, got sunburned beyond belief.
Obviously.
There was no sun out in the sky whatsoever.
Now, but you still die to sun.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I'm just as pale as you are,
yeah,
but
indeed.
Now...
Oh! Burn. Yeah, that's grim. Now, are you going to be playing Burn today?
No. I think it's probably one of the worst decks, but I'm probably playing the second worst deck, which is Vampires.
Ah, okay. Now, tell us a bit about Vampires, because it's an odd mix. There are so many of them out there that there seem to be, there are sort of normal aggro decks, if you like. There's kind of mid-rangey Vampires. And then there's also this kind of weird combo-y kind of Vampires with Pawn of Alamog and Bloodthrone Vampire and so on. Where are you positioned within all that lot?
I'm just playing the old list. I haven't played a game.
Okay.
And didn't really have enough time to screw around with, like, the Nantuko House stuff. But it looked pretty sweet. But everyone was telling me it was bad. I don't know. Like, typically when I trust people, they're wrong. So, like, we'll see. But...
Okay, all right. Thanks very much to Jerry Thompson from Star City Games. I can spy a Pro Tour champion in the distance in a fantastic Hawaiian shirt. Let's see if we can have a word with Pro Tour Venice champion from 2003, if I've got my history right. Osip Lebedovitz, how are you, sir?
How's it going?
Good, good, good. Must be fun to be back inside the ropes.
Yeah, it is, you know, especially, I haven't played in a Pro Tour in a while, so, and I hadn't played in a Grand Prix up until last weekend, so it's fun to compete 2 weeks in a row.
And actually, like, look at pairings boards and go, who have I got?
yeah, I completely forget what it's like before the Pro Tour, when everyone's still building their deck and trying to get every advantage they can, so it's fun, yeah.
It's a ritual, isn't it, really?
It really is, yeah, people... Constantly, I've never seen anyone come to the Pro Tour with a deck fully complete and not make a single change up until the night before. So
what are you going with today?
I'm going with Mono Red, and I think, I don't know, I mean, I look around, I don't see anyone else sleeving up those cards, so I thought going into here, I mean, I didn't test that much. I played literally almost the exact same 75 cards last week in the Type 2, and I was like, it's pretty good in Type 2, it can't be that bad in block, so I decided to just sleeve them up again tonight.
I guess it's one of those decks that people look at a card like Core Firewalker and realize that it's potentially a problem, and then they have to decide whether they're going to risk playing it anyway.
Yeah, it's weird because I've never played in a Brock Pro Tour before where the consensus best deck was, you know, this, but people just refused to play it, you know? Like, people knew Rebels was the best they played it, people knew Goblins was the best they played it, yet for some reason, I think people just have, they just don't want to play this deck, and I can't imagine it's just because of Firewalker, because that's just silly. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you think there is something about Mono Red specifically, that if it was Mono Black or if it was Mono Green, then people would be, oh yeah, I can play that, but there's almost a stigma about Mono Red that, well, you're going to play a guy on turn one and a guy on turn two, and then you're going to burn them on turn three. That's not magic, that's, you know, anyone can do that.
It's just strange, because, like, if you think back to the Pro Tour, that Waffle Topo one, like, Mono White was the most popular deck, and that deck, I think, played Icacian Javelinier or something. I mean, it's like, this deck is clearly more powerful than other strategies like that before, and it just seems silly to me that people just don't want to play it because of one card, and I think it is just because it's red and people don't like burning. They think it's too simple, I think, so.
Which it really isn't.
Yeah, I think it's a little more complex than that. I mean, I'm just surprised at how many people think the deck is bad. That's what, from what I've gone around talking to people and hearing what they say, it seems like they just think the deck is just bad, which I'm surprised by.
Yeah, so am I. All right, many thanks to Pro Tour champion Osip Lebedovitz back inside the ropes at the Pro Tour. Let's see if we can have a quick word with the reigning Pro Tour champion from Germany, Simon Goertzen. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Have you had a good week in San Juan?
Very good.
It's a great place, isn't it?
Yeah, when it's not raining.
Yeah. Yeah, it does that a lot, apparently, in May.
Well, at least once a day.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. How's the testing been going? Who have you been testing with?
Oh, we were 16 people in the beach house, and we did a lot of testing, like drafting, of course, but yeah.
Okay. And what do you think the shape of the metagame is? What decks are we going to see this weekend?
There will be aggressive decks, control decks, and then the next step is the ramp decks, some kind of Eldrazi ramp.
Okay. And where do you think it's best to be positioned within that?
Somewhere between control and ramp.
Okay, so you're not sleeving up the mono red then?
No, but more people should, probably.
All right. Okay, thank you very much to the Pro Tour champion, Simon Goertzen. I'm going to head across to someone else who was in the top eight of that event. Let's see if we can get a quick word with Jeroen Canis. Sir, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's a little bit early still, but...
I know that feeling, don't I ever? 25 past eight. Now, listen, having made the top eight last time...
Yes.
Do you sit here now getting ready for the start of the next one... feeling differently, thinking differently?
Well, actually, my main goal today is to make at least top 200, so I qualify for
Amsterdam.
Uh-huh. So that's my main goal. And
so start off with 4-4 or 5-3 and go from there.
Yes. Actually, I want to make day two. That would be pretty good accomplishment for me.
Okay, that's pretty awesome because, you know, like I say, the bar got raised last time around. Did you enjoy your Sunday experience?
Yes, it was pretty nice.
Next time we'll beat LSV.
Okay.
Okay? All right, thanks a lot, Tieran Canis. And sitting opposite him, Niels Norlander of the Netherlands, part of the top four, of course, from Worlds in the team event in Rome. Niels, how's testing gone for you?
It's gone fine. I knew a long time what deck I was playing, so...
Really?
Yeah, it's easy testing. I mean, it's an opportunity for me to play control, and I will gladly take it.
Ah, okay, so you're a control player at heart.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to play some kind of blue-white.
Yeah.
All right, so all the Planeswalkers in the world, Jace Mind Sculptor, Gideon Juru.
Yeah, four of those.
Bit of Day of Judgment action.
Yeah, Luminarch Ascension.
Spreading Seas?
Planeswalker. No, not Spreading Seas.
Okay. All right, so pretty straightforward blue-white list, and you're going to be in the game every round.
Yeah.
All right, do you play quickly?
Yeah, if need be. Like, with this deck, I need to play quick.
Yeah.
I don't want to get rolls here, so yeah. I need to play quick.
All right, thanks very much to Niels Norlander, I say, from the top four of Worlds in Rome. Well, here's a gentleman who won't be playing in round one, but he had a pretty sweet weekend last time. Brett Blackman, making the top 8 of GP Washington. As someone who doesn't have a vested interest, then, in what people are playing, what's your take on the metagame here?
I tested a little bit. I'm obviously not allowed to talk about certain decks.
No, for sure.
Well, actually, I guess it doesn't really matter since they'll see them, but some of my friends are playing, like... Not naming names or anything.
No, sure.
Like Malakut, because that was very under the radar, and they're testing it. One of my he's playing 30 lands in his Malakut deck, and my other friend, they're just playing like Eldrazi ramp and people in my room. I just drafted like 30 something times, which is probably nothing since I just practiced for. the GP last week. But I really did not like mono red. Every time I was playing with it, it felt like I was not in control of any single game. And I like to be interactive with my opponents.
All right, okay. So that is a very interesting piece of information, though. Thank you very much to Brett, because, wow, Valakut. That could be outstanding. Wouldn't it be great if that worked? That's a killer deck. Let's see if we can get a word with from... Poland, Mateusz Kopecz, Grand Prix winner in the past. Mateusz, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. What are you going to play today?
Blue-white control deck.
What's the thinking behind that? How is that positioned within the metagame?
Yeah, I think that most of the matchups are quite good. I got really good matchups against the aggro decks because of three Gideons you are in my deck. Well, I think that's the key, winning against the aggro decks and mirror matches. I think it's okay.
All right, okay, thank you very much to Mateusz. Let's see if we can check in. 1 year ago, my next guest was making the top 8 of Pro Tour Honolulu. Let's just sneak in here as he finishes his deck list. A very good morning to Mikhail Hebke. How are you, sir?
Bad.
Oh, you're bad, are you? Are you bad because you haven't worked out your deck yet, or...?
I have pretty bad deck. That's the reason why.
I'm having a look down this. You think this is a bad deck? You seem to have plenty of green cards. I think lots of players seem to have plenty of green cards. What's bad about it?
I don't know. I don't like any of the decks, so...
Did you like the decks in Honolulu?
Yeah, I did. It was a pretty nice deck.
Okay, that's a bit more of an issue then. So what are your expectations of the weekend? Not very high.
Yeah, exactly. Not very high. We'll be happy to make the second day.
Now, between you and me, listeners... This is a guy who just doesn't know when to lose, so it would not surprise me at all to find him deep in day two with the deck, however bad it is, because you're one of these players who, one of the things that struck everyone in Honolulu is that it didn't matter whether you were mulliganing to five, whether you had the wrong lands, whether you were sitting there with things you couldn't cast, you just kept on slugging, and all the games just kept on going, and there is, seems to be one of your big strengths is the determination.
I don't know, you have to kill your opponent somehow, so...
Yeah, but a lot of people just give up, Mikhail. There are lots of times, if you play the tape back of Honolulu, there are times in all those matches where there would have been players who just gone, either they'd have scooped up, or they'd have said, yeah, okay, well, I'll just wait while you kill me because that's what's going to happen. But you don't. You just sit there and go, if you're going to kill me, you've got to kill me.
Yeah, exactly, but I think everybody will...
Should be like that.
Everybody should move like that, because...
But they don't, and that's one of the reasons that he makes top eight. Thanks very much, Mikhail Hebke, of the Czech Republic. Well, there's another gentleman from the Czech Republic who is next along in his blackborder.com shirt, and it's level 8, Mr. Martin User. Martin, we've just been chatting with Mikhail Hebke. He doesn't seem very happy with his deck. Are you happy with yours, whatever it is?
Yeah, I am. I'm always happy with my deck.
Are you, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty optimistic. You generally find players going, oh, I don't like my deck. My deck's rubbish. I'm not very good. But you like what you've got. Where are you positioned within the metagame? Aggro, control?
I don't know, I'm playing MJ's deck, so you better ask him. I suppose I
better ask Mike Jacob then. Mike, how's testing gone? What kind of thing have you ended up with?
I'm pretty much playing the same thing I played in the Moto Championships with a few new cards. Mm-hmm.
So colors-wise, this is green, red, blue?
Yeah, it's green, red, blue. Made some updates after playing with the deck a ton. And it's a deck that I feel like it's slightly favored against everything and massively favored against everything post-board. So.
Now, this is the deck that Brad Nelson also played in the MOCS, is that right?
Yeah, okay. It's also him, yeah.
Okay, now, I had a chat with him last night. That's a show you can hear tomorrow, by the way, listeners. A big interview with Brad Nelson. We were talking about that particular event, and he was saying that, to be honest, it felt like knife through butter. It just felt so straightforward, you really couldn't lose. 33-4 on the weekend. So when you look at this now, do you think you've got the best deck in the room?
I don't think I've got the best deck in the room. I think that I could beat the best deck in the room, though.
That sounds good. Mike Jacob of the United States and RIW Hobbies, thank you very much to him and to Martin User of the Czech Republic. Well, let's see if we can make a connection with the Wesco connection. Here he is from Star City Games, Craig Wesco. Craig, how different does it feel coming into a Pro Tour on morning one, knowing that last time around, the adventure took you all the way to Sunday?
Feels all right, I guess. You know, started the tournament again.
Mm-hmm.
Like always, hopefully I can do the same thing I did last time, maybe win a couple more matches.
Yeah, now I noticed that you posted, I can't remember whether it was on Facebook or a forum somewhere, but I think you sort of specifically put out there, I'm sure I can find it if I try, this kind of thing of, yes, and this time I propose to come home with some hardware.
Yeah, that's always the plan, but, you know, hopefully this year, if I can put up some more points, I can maybe catch up with the points that Kyle put up last week.
Uh-huh. Because he's sharing the lead in Player of the Year with Simon Gertsen on 26 points. Tell us what you're sleeving up today and why.
Blue-green.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because Connolly brewed something last night that I probably should be playing, but I made a bunch of mistakes with it. I didn't want to go into a tournament not knowing how to play my deck.
Seems fair.
So I just went with the plan that I at least knew what I was doing with.
Okay, and what does blue-green do? Because it isn't ramp, it isn't blue-white control. So what do you get by playing blue-green?
Well, you have counter magic for the Eldrazi decks. You have aggro creatures backed by counter magic for blue-white. And the only matchup that's really bad is mono-red and Boros. But I expect most of the mainstream pros to be playing Eldrazi and blue-white, and maybe some vampires. Good matchups against all those decks.
Okay, so you've kind of taken a metagame call that even though the mono red deck is out there and everyone knows that it exists, most people aren't going to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I still have game. I'm not drawing dead in the matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that's one of the weaker matchups, and everyone has weak matchups. I just chose to have my weak matchups be that archetype.
Sure. All right, well, the very best of luck to Craig Wesco. Hopefully we'll see him once again on Pro Tour Sunday. Let's see if we can sneak a word with the deck builder extraordinaire, Mr. Conley Woods from ChannelFireball.com. Morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
So have you been brewing something interesting. I heard a quote from you saying, hey, listen, I can only do so much in a format. Have we broken it, or is it just you've got a good metagame place?
Can I let you know on Sunday?
Tell me what you think might be the case.
I don't know. This is a 3 a.m. brew, so...
Oh, really? 3 a.m. this morning?
Yes.
Oh, good. So you've been testing a lot, then.
I actually got a decent amount of testing, and I had a lot of backup plans, but, yeah.
Tell me about colors, then, at least. What colors are you going with?
We're blue-redding today.
Blue-red. Now, I think that's the first time I've heard that. Is that like a...
Always first.
Yeah, is that like a traditional control-ish kind of deck?
It's pretty controlling. No creatures anywhere.
Wow. Awesome. Look forward to seeing that in action. Conley Woods, many thanks to him. Always the guarantee of something innovative. Tomohara Saito of Japan goes past. Tomohara, how are you, sir?
Hi, I'm good.
You good? What are you going to play today? Allies?
My deck.
Allies?
My deck, new deck.
New deck. Colors? What colors?
Green.
Straight, just mono green? Yep.
Not just the mono green.
Green and some other things.
Yes.
Okay, we look forward to seeing that tomorrow, Saito. My deck, he's been very secretive. I'll be interested to see. There's another one on the list. Let's have a word with Stuart Wright here. We seem to be doing deck building corner at this rate. It's like Conley Woods and Tomohiro Saito, and now here's Stuart Wright, and he's got a green card in his hand. Stu, tell us what you're playing this weekend and why.
I'm playing mono green aggro.
Uh-huh. Why? And all the Brits going, we want to know this too, because we've sleeved it up and we don't know why.
It's a pretty good aggro deck. Like, I think it's better than the red aggro deck. Like, you don't have quite the ability to burn people out, but your creatures are a lot better. Vengevine is a very powerful card when a lot of people are playing All Is Dust and Day of Judgment.
Mm-hmm. What are your expectations coming into the weekend? Because you've been sort of part-time on the pro circuit of late. Do you have a particular goal in mind? Qualification for Amsterdam or...
Yeah, qualification Amsterdam seems like a fair goal.
All right, okay. Thank you very much to Stuart Wright, sleeving up the green. Let's see if we can sneak in and have a quick word with 9-time Pro Tour Top 8 man, Gabriel Nassif. He's busy having a discussion over a one. And Gabe Wall's on the other side of the table. Gab, how are you today, sir?
Hey, good.
It looks like you're still busy trying to sort out your sideboard.
Yeah.
Okay. Colours you're going for today?
Blue-green.
Okay, and is that where's that positioned in the metagame? Aggro, control, somewhere in between?
Control, I guess.
Okay. All right, we will let you get on, because very important moments here as they sideboard up. We're heading towards about 15 minutes to go from the start of round one of Pro Tour San Juan. So a reminder that here's how it works. 5 rounds of block constructed. So that's Zendikar, Worldwake, and Rise of the Eldrazi. That's all you can use. There'll be no Shards of Alara here this time. As we see, Mr. Antti Malin, the 2008 world champion. Antti of Finland, how are you getting on, sir?
Sorry?
How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Had a good time in San Juan?
Definitely. The weather is just the best possible. It's hot, but still not too pressing.
Not too much sun, not too oppressive, for sure. Tell us how testing's gone for you.
I tested one deck for like 4 or 5 days, but just couldn't make it work, so I had to switch the deck yesterday.
All right. What have you gone with and why?
I tried to play Summoning Trap, but couldn't make it work, so now I'm playing Blue-White Control.
All right, fair enough. Thank you very much to Antti. As I say, 5 rounds of block constructed. Then we head into draft, and you will play 3 rounds of Rise of the Eldrazi. Remember, normally you'd expect to go 1, 2, 3 sets in a row. That is not going to happen. No Zendikar, no Worldwake. Instead, we go straight to Rise of the Eldrazi. So all the big guns, Kozilek, Ulamog the Infinite Gyre at 11, and so on, all the way up to 15, Emrakul the Aeon's Taunt. You will see that played, I guarantee you, in draft. So that finishes day one. We come back tomorrow with all the players on 15 points or better, and then there will be 3 more rounds of draft, and then 5 rounds of block constructed down the stretch. From there, we take you into Sunday, and on Sunday, it will be draft. Live, the webcast with myself and Brian David Marshall. So, that is the shape of the weekend ahead. Let's see if we can find some more players to have a quick word to as the clock ticks down towards the start of Pro Tour San Juan. And here is Jan Rusa. Jan, you're a player who knows exactly what it takes to make Sunday excited about being in San Juan?
Yeah, it's a really good Pro Tour. I think that both formats are cool, limited and constructed, and it's, of course, a cool location.
Yeah. Now, have you been part of the huge German testing group in the beach house?
No, I'm a group of six people closer to here, but okay. Of course we talk to them.
Of course. So what's your idea of the overall shape of the metagame? What are the decks out there?
It's very diverse. There are a lot of possibilities. That's why I like the format. You can play aggro, you can play control, you can even play some sort of combo with summoning trap or something.
Yep.
So it's pretty even. Lots of good decks and no really clear matchups.
Okay. So does that mean that your advice would be play whatever suits your style best?
Yeah, that's one thing. And the other thing is, I think it's even more important than even choosing an archetype is that choosing finding a good version of that archetype. You have to have every card right. And
okay, so it's a format where skill is really rewarded.
I think so. I hope so, yeah.
I hope so. I've done lots of testing. I hope it's all about skill. And tell us briefly then about draft. What's your take there? Are there lots of archetypes you can build? Is it a really tough draft format?
I think that in this format, the archetypes that you can draft are really good. So there can be really strong decks. The card quality is high, and it's more important to get cards that fit in well in the deck with the other cards than strong cards overall. So everything has
to... It's all about synergy.
Yeah, it's all about synergy. Right?
All right. Okay, thank you very much to Jan Roos, the runner-up from Pro Tour Hollywood in 2008. Now, let's see if you recognize that voice. Can you pick that one out? I'm going to see if we can have a quick word here with Mr. Brian Kibler. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
Exquisite as ever. Now, how much testing have you done for this?
A lot, actually. Uh-huh. I started doing a lot of playtesting with Ben Rubin a few months ago, pretty much as soon as the Rise spoiler came out. We had Pat Chapin come out for about a week, playtesting in California as well as with Paul Reitzel and Matt Spratling out there,
yep.
too.
And for those listeners who don't know who might be new, that is a deck-building group that has had quite a bit of success lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same group who I worked with for Pro Tour Austin.
Yep, which you won.
I did. Our deck there was pretty good, I thought. And much of the group that I worked with for Honolulu, where both Paul and I made top 8.
Yeah, okay. So have you got something unusual here, or is this a format where pretty much the main decks are defined and you're just trying to metagame position yourself?
It's definitely not just a format where there's only sort of rock, paper, scissors of decks.
Sure.
We're playing a deck that is very much off the radar.
Okay.
It is, once again, a largely Ben Rubin brew. The rest of... Well, we've all really worked together on it. We've been working on certain types of decks for a while, and this was the one out of that sort of category of decks that we liked the most.
Okay, now, famously, Punishing Fire Grover the Burn Willows was the over-the-top bit, if you like, of Austin. Do we have a land involved here that's a little bit cheeky and off the radar?
Nothing weird. I mean, I'm a big fan of Creeping Tar Pit.
Well, who doesn't like 3/2s that are unblockable?
Absolutely. I mean, we do have a super secret card that sort of makes our deck a lot different than other decks that are sort of like it.
Near-death experience.
No.
Painful Omen.
Nothing quite like that. It's
Raid Bombardment.
It's a...
0-3.
It will be obvious when okay. the time comes. So that's actually a hint right there, that word.
Obvious when the time comes. Now, is it obvious? Is it when? Is it the? It's the, isn't it? That was the word. Thanks a lot to Brian Kibler, Pro Tour Austin champion. Let's see if we can have a word with Owen Turtenwald. Owen, how are you, sir?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Pretty sweet week last weekend.
Yeah, it was nice.
Tell us about testing then for this. How's it gone?
Not well.
But you always say that before a Pro Tour. We've been in hotels before, and I just, when I think of you, I see you with your head in your hand at 10 o'clock the night before a Pro Tour going, man, I think I'm going to have to play Jund. I think I'm going to have to play Fairies. I think I'm going to have to play... So what did you think you had to play this time?
Mono Red. It was at least, like, what I wanted to play.
Okay.
But we tried plenty of different decks, and it was just the only one that I liked.
Seems fair. All right. Congratulations again for last weekend. Owen Turtenwald made the top 8 of Grand Prix Washington, D.C. Let's see if we can have a very quick word with Brian Kowal. Sir, how are you getting on?
Pretty good.
Now, I understand I'm not going to look at your list because I know that you're part of a testing group that has some pretty interesting stuff going on.
Yeah,
We got a special one this time.
Okay, so tell us who's in that group with you.
I'm working with Steve Oshovitz, Alex West, Sam Black, Godenis Vidugaris, Stephen Neal.
Stephen Neal, I don't know. Tell me about him.
Oh, he's an up-and-comer from the Madison area.
Okay.
A very skilled Hypergenesis player, and...
And Stephen, how useful is being a very skilled Hypergenesis player in the Block Pro Tour?
Not as useful as you'd think.
That's interesting, because I didn't think it'd be very useful. But.
Well, that's true. The skills don't exactly transfer. Okay. So I'm hoping that I just get the limited portion.
Okay. How many PTs have you played in?
This is my first.
Okay. Now, in all seriousness, you seem to have started out pretty much at the top, because as a group, it doesn't get much better than being headlined by Hall of Famers V. Moshevitz.
That's very true. It's helpful to be the former roommate of Sam Black and Godenis.
Right. Okay. So that's the in.
That's the in.
You didn't just write to them and say, "Hi, I'm dying. Will you save me?"
I did do that.
Oh, you did
but
that too.
I also had the in.
Oh, P.S. I used to roommate with you. Yeah, okay, that works. All right, thank you very much to both of them. They have a very interesting set of cards. It'll be great to see how that turns out. So the field is coming together now. You can hear the rise of expectation as we're closing in. Bernardo da Costa Cabral, he's made multiple Pro Tour top eights in the past. Let's see if we can have a word with Kenny Oberg of Sweden. Good morning to Kenny. Sir, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Now, you are known as a deck innovator in the past with the Tesseret deck and so on in Extended. What have you got in block?
In block, I have nothing special this time.
Okay.
So, except for a very good cyber plan.
All right. And what deck are you running?
Blue-white control.
Okay, I guess that kind of figures. And what have you... I don't want any of the cards, obviously, but what have you set the sideboard up to beat?
The Mirror and Green Eldrazi decks,
okay.
Ramp decks.
All right, fair enough. Many thanks to Kenny Oberg. I say, one of the main deck designers of recent times, always very interesting. Let's get a quick word with the man in... Oh, that tie is killer. We have a StarCityGames.com tie with the man in the suit, Cedric Phillips. You knew as soon as I said the man in the suit. We all know who it is. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
I'm very well. It's great to see you here. We missed you at GP Washington. Mm-hmm. I know you had other commitments. Have you had time to test for this?
A whole lot.
Okay. You have become known for taking a deck and really running with it, whether that's Kifkin or Dredge. I know that you came into a GP really thinking that, you know, you knew Dredge, and it's not often that players go into a tournament and they can really look you in the eye and say that. Is there a deck that you know for this weekend?
Not as well as I knew those other two decks.
Sure.
But I feel like I'm pretty well tested. I know a lot about the format, but I'm comfortable with how each of the decks plays and how they interact, but this was the deck that I felt was the best choice.
Okay, thank you very much to Cedric Phillips. The pairings have gone up, not for round one, but for the player meeting, so the players are now heading into action as we head towards the start of the Pro Tour. And here is the head judge, the man in charge of it all, Sheldon Menery. How are you, sir?
Good morning, sir. I am fantastic.
Now, you've done this a bunch of times, but it never gets old, does it?
It doesn't. I get excited every time we do a Pro Tour. It's magic at the highest level. It's play at the highest level. It's people at the highest level.
Absolutely. All right, we'll let Sheldon get on. He's got a busy, busy day ahead of him. Players are coming into the arena. Let's see if we can get a very quick word with one of the latest Grand Prix winners. It's Adam Jurcik. Sir, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Now, does it not feel great to be a champion?
It feels great.
Ninth and second and second and second and second and I win!
Yep, finally.
Was it more special because you've waited and been so close for so long?
I think so.
You looked pretty happy, it must be said.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, do you approach this any differently as a champion? Does it feel more real that you're going to go all the way? Or are you just, I'm sitting down, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, here comes round one?
Feels a little different.
Okay.
More on the line, I'd say.
Because you think more people are aware of you, or because you now expect more of yourself?
More of myself, and I have more pro points. More, if I do better, I can level up.
Feel free to do so.
All right. Thank you very much to Adam Jurcik, Xiang Shang of China. It's great to see you. Great to have you here at the Pro Tour. You looking forward to it?
What?
have fun today.
Yeah, have fun.
Okay, good. There we go. I knew I shouldn't have tried that. Never mind, eh? So the play is closing in, as I say, on the start. Here's David Reitbauer, the man who was runner-up from Worlds last year. David, how are you getting on?
Yeah, is everything all right?
Good. You've got a nice testing group?
Yeah, we had a testing group of about 21 people, so we tested really a lot. We had a beach house rented here 2 hours away from San Juan.
Fantastic. So what are you going to play today and why?
Today I'm going to play Mono White and Trotterim. Because we tested really a lot and it came out that it's about 50-50, the two matchups we expected the most, but we think that people are not used playing against it, so I choose this deck.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much to David Reitbauer. As we head across, let's just get a quick word with Tom Ross. A year ago, he made the top 8 of Pro Tour Honolulu. Tom, how are you getting on, sir?
I'm getting on pretty good. I'm playing... All of us in Channel Fireball are playing the same deck, red, green, blue.
All right, has that been on the cards for a while, that deck?
On the cards? Luis and Brad played it in the mock championship for Magic Online, and we've just been developing it ever since.
Okay, so it's kind of been in the works for a while then.
Yeah, we've been working all week on it.
Right, so this is no 3 a.m. deck, but okay, that's good to know. Thanks, Tom. We'll see how he gets on. And when we say that whole team, let's get a quick word with David Ochoa, also part of the Channel Fireball crew. So, David, I've just been talking with Tom Ross, and it sounds like you really like your deck.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. We've got an interesting brew going on.
Mm-hmm. And that didn't seem to do too badly last time round.
No, it did pretty well.
Yeah, admittedly, LSV, he kind of pretty good with most things.
Yeah, he went on a bit of a run there.
A little bit of a tear. All right. What are your expectations of the weekend?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It'll be interesting.
All right. Okay. Best of luck to David Ochoa. Let's see if we can get a quick word with Dan Gardner, the UK champion, in second place in the last Pro Tour, heading into the last three rounds. Didn't quite make top 8, but you must take a lot of courage from that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good result, regardless of the last three rounds.
So yeah.
Hopefully I'll do well this time as well.
All right, and have you tested much for this?
Not really. I just let Marco do all the work.
And that's Marco Orsini-Jones, the brother of Matteo, who made the top 8 at Kyoto. And Marco's a pretty decent deck builder.
Yeah, I think he's one of the top 10 in the world.
All right. And what has he got for you, then?
He's got a blue-white Eldrazi control deck.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much to Dan Gardner. Players almost all sorted now. As we see Luis Scott Vargas sitting down. And one of our Russian friends... come down to David Larsson of Sweden, Sebastian Thaler just heading for his seat. We'll follow along.
We're going to be collecting your deck list shortly.
And you're listening there to Sheldon Mennery.
Your deck list isn't ready by the time we wish to collect them, and you will be subject to tardiness penalties.
Just a little bit further along, we see Ben Seck of Australia, TBS, the Ben Seck, as he's known, and he won a Pro Tour qualifier at the last Pro Tour in San Diego. He qualified for here. So congratulations to him, Jonas Wallendorf, a European top 8er. Let's see if we can sneak a quick word with one of France's finest, a Pro Tour champion, Guillaume Fatapa. How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Good to know. Do you have anything for us? Are you going to be playing blue-white control?
Yeah.
It figures. Okay. Sitting on the other side, a man who's not yet won a Pro Tour, Rob Wagner of Leeds, Team Leeds, back at home. Pretty excited to be here?
Yeah, absolutely. First time here. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. And here you are sitting opposite a Pro Tour champion, and maybe that's what happens in round one.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think I'm a bit scared if that would happen.
Really? You love a challenge.
Yeah, not this one.
Okay, all right. Thanks very much, Rob. Fantastic. Rob Wagner, really good guy, a tournament organiser back at home in the UK. We see Shuhei Nakamura as we head back up the field. We're going to have around about 400 players here. That's usually the field. It may be a little smaller because we are on an island, of course. But any minute now... going to be underway. Let's get a quick word with Matt Nass, a Grand Prix Oakland winner, of course. Sir, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good.
Okay, good to know. Had fun in San Juan?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about testing for you.
I base tested with a bunch of people from Northern California.
Yep.
Not the ones who you probably know, like.
No, sure. Just smart people who were playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We tested starting, we came here like immediately after DC was over on the Monday, and then basically locked ourselves in the hotel and tested a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're in my hotel, and I don't think I've seen you since Monday morning.
Yeah, yeah. We were not outside very much.
So what have you ended up with?
I'm playing green-white summoning trap, or summoning trap ramp, whatever you call it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. To one of this year's Grand Prix winners, Matt Nass. So, such a great moment, this, when you get inside the ropes, you get to sit down, no play errors yet, no wrong metagame calls, no judges coming along for game losses when you've made a mistake. Just the chance that right now, somewhere in this sea of very smart humanity, is a Pro Tour champion waiting to happen. So, we're closing in on the very start of 16 rounds across 2 days that will lead to the top eight and a Pro Tour title on Sunday. So, 396 players. This is Scott Larrabee, the tournament manager.
Will take place tonight.
And Riccardo Tessitore, one of the Italian judges, he's done lots of head judging at Pro Tours before. He's busy chatting to Mario Pascoli, the man who was runner-up behind John Finkel 2 years ago in Kuala Lumpur. And by the way, John Finkel is here and in action.
We have 9 Hall of Fame members playing in this tournament today. We have Mr. John Finkel, Mr. Robert Dougherty, Darwin Castle, Raphael Levy, Dirk Babarowski, Zvi Moshowitz, Olivier Wuerl, Antoine Ruel, and Frank Karsten. Big hand for those guys showing up. Thanks a lot, guys.
The 9 Hall of Famers.
I'm sorry. I forgot Ben Rubin. I'm sorry, buddy. Ben Rubin is here, too. Sorry about that. We also have 2 additional Hall of Famers in the building over at the Champion Challenge area. We have Alan Comer and Randy Buehler. So, I'd also like to give a good welcome to our newly crowned Grand Prix Washington, D.C. champion, Brad Nelson. Congratulations, Brad.
Indeed. Great achievement last weekend.
Additionally, we have 1 additional special invited guest. We have Mr. David Williams. Welcome, Dave.
Great.
Dave Williams.
A couple of milestones that we have for this tournament tonight.
Now this is interesting.
Round 1 of this tournament will be Brad Snepbanger's 600th professional match. He's been playing a long time. Congratulations, Brad. And at the end of this tournament, Olivier Ruel will pass Kai Buda for the most lifetime pro points.
There you go. Olivier Ruel.
Once again, welcome to the tournament, and here's your head judge, Sheldon Mennery.
Lifetime pro point winner. All right.
Good morning.
So,
once again,
there is Sheldon Mennery.
Like Scott
we'll pass
said,
Tommy Lindgren.
Level 5 judge from Tampa, Florida.
Of Switzerland. And head back Mark Dictus, one of the Belgian players. You'll hear much more from him in our second show today. And Manuel Bucher, former team world champion. And in amongst all the big names, who's going to make their mark as a first-timer? Who's going to get the job done across 5 rounds of block, 3 rounds of draft, and then the reverse tomorrow? It's all here on MagicTheGathering.com. Join myself and Brian David Marshall on the tournament centres around the building. Check out all the text coverage from our colleagues there. And, of course, I'll be back later in the day with that special feature on the Dutch and Belgian beach house. Well worth a listen later on. But until we do meet again later in the day, I am your host, Richard Hagen, saying bye.